currently 57 degrees in Lynchburg, 55 in Bedford, 55 in Salem, and 57 in Danville.
We're so excited to have Bill Trefure. He just really brings everything up a notch or two with his news. And he mentioned Botetourt County. I just want to mention here a little bit deeper dive. Buses 46, 48, and 65 have been canceled today. Breckenridge Elementary School, Buckingham Elementary, Eagle Rock, and Central Academy Middle School. And so just make sure this morning, because there is localized flooding going on. I've seen some of the pictures, Janet. It looks a little scary. You definitely don't want to even try. If you see water over the road, just turn around, go home.
Right.
You know, or
turn
find
around,
a different
don't
route.
Drown. That's what they say.
So.
Well, we are excited to have with us this morning Lisi Fink. Oh, well, or maybe not.
No, I lost her.
Let me try calling her again.
All right. We've been talking on the air about how we've had some problems with the school boards in the area. Lisi's going to be running for the school board in Amherst County. One of the things that is going to have to be addressed is the learning loss that we've had in Amherst County Public Schools. And we've said many times here on the air that when it comes to making a difference, sometimes the moms have to step up. She is the mother, I believe, of five, and she's going to be running for school board. So I don't know that we can, that we've lost her apparently. We had her on the phone, so I don't know that we'll be able to go back to that or not. So we may have to get her after the next break here. But all the school boards in the area are looking to possibly have some turnover, as it seems like there's not been any school boards who've been able to remain unscathed by some of the problems that we've had with critical race theory,
right.
and not really addressing the things that we need to be addressing, but rather you know, things that I don't want to say they don't matter,
right?
But they're not.
Well, I mean, look in the past of the things that we would argue over. These are a lot more, no pun intended, critical. Mm-hmm. We tried her, keeps going to voicemail, so apparently there's the issue with the phone. But we'll try to get her back. But yeah, there's just so many things, and we're seeing it pop up all over the place, Janet. Up in Northern Virginia, we have a story of some pronouns and critical race theory in Stafford, Virginia, which is just south of D.C., actually some what I would call is a positive story. You know, people saying, hey, you know, we're not going there. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, different people in the government saying, well, then we're going to hold your funding if you don't use the proper pronouns, which just seems to be ridiculous.
Well, it's ridiculous that you have to go there. That's what's ridiculous, because we shouldn't have to go there. But instead, we end up having to have these conversations that just doesn't make any sense. So that story that you referred to in Stafford, Virginia, they have voted to withhold funding for school programs that would teach critical race theory or ask that students identify their chosen pronouns. They've denounced the teaching of what is called the 1619?
Yeah, the 1619. It's the real founding of our country, according to these people anyway.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. It's real messy out there. So.
But it seems like they are drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
So that's the Republican supervisor, Gary Snellings, the proposal's author, and other board members say they want to ensure programs and policies align, imagine that, with what the community wants.
Right.
And I think, you know, when we do get Lisi on the line, one of the things that she says on the signs that she has all over Amherst County is a leader that listens.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, that we have people on these boards that they're not even leaders, they're representatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they are.
Yeah.
Or that's what they're supposed to be.
Right.
Is they're supposed to be representatives. So if we can get with her, we will. If not, we'll have to do it on another day.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
And we can happily do that if we need to. So we were talking about the new booster shots that have been approved. The White House said that that they were going to dispense the third shot to nearly everyone.
Right.
The FDA has authorized Pfizer booster shots for seniors and high-risk people. So an advisory group serving the FDA kind of rejected the White House plan, and they're moving forward with this. If you have had your other Pfizer shots, if you fall in that category, mm-hmm. The Food and Drug Administration did authorize Pfizer booster shots for people above the age of 65 or who are at high risk.
Right.
These groups include individuals 65 years and older and individuals ages 18 to 64 who are either at high risk of severe COVID-19 or who work in high-risk places.
Right, yeah. Constantly in the contact with the public and that kind of thing. Sure.
Or if you're working in hospitals and
right,
I'm sure. The vaccine will allow for a booster dose to certain populations like healthcare workers, mm-hmm. teachers, daycare staff, grocery workers, and those in homeless shelters or prisons, among others.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's going to pass quickly.
Right.
The announcement comes after the advisory group serving the FDA overwhelmingly rejected a sweeping White House plan to dispense third shots to nearly everybody. Again, I don't understand how this happens.
Yeah.
I don't know how we
well, it's the game that couldn't shoot straight.
It's like the right hand doesn't know mm-hmm. what the left hand's doing.
Mm-hmm.
They say the timing was unusual given that the agency typically takes action before the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention convenes its own experts.
You know, sometimes I think that, you know, this is such a big deal, you should hunker down and try to figure out a way to communicate across all the platforms in your government. And I know the government's big, but I think these people are more into the power aspect of being in government.
I think they
just love it. They think they're Hollywood stars or something.
I think they intentionally use that to as an excuse not to do what they're supposed to do. A final note on this, U.S. is dispensing around 760,000 vaccines per day on average, mm-hmm. down from a high of 3.4 million. About 180 million are fully vaccinated. That's only 64% of those who are eligible.
All right, we're going to try it. Lisey, one more time. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I think we got her. Thank you, Trey, for working hard
to
connect with her. And thank you, Lisey, for being patient with us.
Oh, no worries.
So I was saying on the air when we were having some phone trouble there that one of the things that we say on the show all the time is when it comes to what our children are struggling with right now, it's the moms and the parents who are having to step up and make a difference. And you are the mother of five. Is that correct?
I am. I sure am. I actually was thinking last night, I've had a child in the Amherst County school system since 2002, and this is a scary thought, but I'm going to have one there until 2030.
Wow.
That's quite the stretch there. So
I'll tell you how old I am.
Well, it also lets you know how much you have invested into that school system, too.
Absolutely, for sure. I've, you know, been involved with, you know, from the elementary level all the way through having two graduates. And so what happens in the school system makes a big difference to my family as well as, you know, every other family here in Amherst County.
So tell us what it was that motivated you to run for school board.
Well, I've thought about it for a long time. And years ago, I attempted to be appointed to the school board and was not chosen. And I think with the gap in education, especially, you know, we're in year three now of COVID kind of messing up our school year. And with the education gap that we're seeing with our children right now, I never have felt it was more important to work to have our schools recover. You know, we talk about our health and our families and, you know, our family members recovering from COVID. But at this point, I think we're in a recovery stage in our school systems, and it's not going to be something we recover from quickly. And I think we need to have school board members who are completely on board for that recovery stage and just doing everything we can to help bridge that gap, because unfortunately, I think we're going to see losses in education for years before our children bounce back from what they've lost.
Well, the past numbers were not good. There was a huge learning loss reflected in those 2021 numbers, for sure.
Yes, it was staggering and very sad. And I've seen it in my own children, and I had a listening session last night with parents and, you know, just people in our community, and every single person was just really saddened by their own children's scores. And, you know, kids that normally are scoring in the 90th percentile across the board are, you know, barely on grade level in some of their subjects.
So what are your biggest concerns? Now, some of the things that we're seeing with school boards across the country, and certainly in Virginia, is that you have a lot of school boards proposing new programs and programs that are addressing, you know, critical race theory and the LGBTQ, you know, non-binary pronouns. What are your thoughts on that as far as Amherst County goes?
Well, I think we got super caught up in transgender and possibilities of critical race theory being taught when we really should have been focused on, you know, getting our kids back in the classroom. You know, the equity lesson that was taught last year was not at all what people were afraid it was going to be, or it wasn't something that came down from the governor. It was literally written by people in our community who wanted, you know, our children to think about other perspectives, not just their own. And, you know, I want all children to kind of look at things from everyone else's perspective and not just their own perspective. But I don't think that we should get so caught up in debates like that when really we just need to focus on getting our kids back in the classroom and keeping them there.
One of the things that that we also had come up in the headlines was that the school system saying that their staff is exhausted. I mean, we're barely into the school year, and they're already burned out just from, you know, the COVID, and when we're online, nowhere in person. Yeah. And, you know, what are your plans to try to help address those issues?
You know, the expectation we have not only on our teachers, but our lunchroom workers and our school bus drivers, and frankly, even our administration, it's never been greater, just like it's never been greater on our healthcare workers or our small business owners. But so I think, you know, as parents and as school board members, we have to be their cheerleaders. Instead of making it more difficult for them to do their job, we need to make it easier. And I think it's important, you know, words of affirmation and encouragement and, you know, thank you goes a long way. And, you know, as a parent, I make sure that, you know, I'm constantly letting those people know how much I appreciate what they're doing. But as a school board, instead of, you know, just spending hours nitpicking small things or, you know, overanalyzing what's happening in the classroom and, you know, perfect terminology or just getting stuck on small stuff, we need to, you know, make sure that our teachers are equipped to be able to just teach and do what they love and make sure that, you know, we're doing everything we can to keep those long-standing teachers in their jobs and do whatever we can to keep them from getting burnout. And that means showing appreciation and again, making it easier on them and not harder. And, you know, I think because we sometimes get caught up in things that aren't really what's happening in the classroom, it means that, you know, our teachers and even our lunchroom workers, you know, our school bus drivers, just a big thank you and constantly letting them know how much we appreciate them. And, you know, I talked to one of the school principals a few weeks ago, and she told me her custodians still had not taken their week off that they normally take off for summer vacation because they had been so committed to making the school clean to get our children back in the schools. And, you know, a thank you to those folks just goes a real long way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so easy to be on guard right now when you look at things in the headlines. And I think you're right. I think it is important to let especially those really good teachers who are fighting the good fight to educate our children, let them know that they are appreciated. Yeah. We're talking with Lisi Fink. She's running for the school board in Amherst County. Lisi, if people want to find out more about what you stand for, what's the best way for them to get information?
I think that my Facebook page is probably a really good start. It's Lisi Fink for Amherst County School Board. And I'm hosting a listening session. I hosted one last night online. People don't need to leave their homes. I want to keep everyone safe. And, you know, I've been out in the public a whole lot, too. But just, you know, I've made my cell phone number public, and they can call me. They can attend one of the listening sessions. I'm pretty available, and I want to make myself available. I've been promoting the fact that I'm a leader who listens, and you guys know me well enough to know that I'm willing to sit down and talk about any of the tough stuff, and even the things that, you know, you may think no one has heard you say. I want to hear those things. And so, yeah, just reach out to me.
Lisi, you have a unique name. Would you mind spelling it for us so people can get your Facebook page down?
Sure. It's L-E-E-C-Y, and the last name is Fink. It's F as in Frank, I-N-K.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Lisi, thanks for joining
us. Thank you, guys.
Good luck in running for the Amherst County School Board, and we appreciate you giving us your time this morning.
All right, you guys take care. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
It is 7:22 on the Morning Jam. We'll have a life hack coming at you here in just a little bit. Trey Watkins is en route. He says there's some fog out there.
And I wonder when we are ever gonna change. Living under the field till nothing else remains. All the children say...
Turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark. 6 to 9 a.m.
Let's go, girls.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I feel like a woman.
We changed some lyrics of some songs here just a couple of months ago, and I'm just wondering, what would we do with that song, Janet?
Feel like a woman?
Well, let's go, girls. Then I feel like a woman.
They just let a dude sing it. I've seen that song performed on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Have you?
Now?
Yeah. Okay.
So, they call each other girls.
Right, right.
They don't use that they, them crap.
Gotcha.
If they want to look like it, they say girls. That's what they do.
I saw RuPaul in a jacket, bald, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Just totally without
he
any.
Is, right.
Yeah. He's pretty thin.
He's very trim, which is why he looks so great in all those outfits.
Gotcha.
So, and he's like 62,
is 64, he really?
Or something like that.
He must have
he's
a really
been around
good diet.
A long time.
Yeah.
And is very good at what he does.
Well, I remember when, I mean, you know, for whatever, RuPaul has been around a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And been in the mainstream of television.
Entertainment.
Yep. And I used to... you know, say, yeah, whatever, but man, been very successful on TV.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So
the times are changing, and they have been.
Aren't they, though? Pretty cool. I like it a lot. So you said you had another soundbite that we were going to try to get to. Are we going to have time to do that now?
Well, I want to save some of these for Trey just to sort of set him up, but I will play this. Let's do the Peter Ducey soundbite.
That one, yes.
Where has Biden ever been to the border? So we'll get to that.
Where has President Biden ever been to the southern border?
In his life?
Yes.
I will have to look back in my history books and check the times he's been to the southern border.
We have been looking all morning, and we cannot find any record of him visiting the border as president, vice president, senator, or even as a concerned citizen. Why would that be?
I can check and see when the last time or when he may have been. But tell me more about why you're asking.
Because this is a president who makes a point when there are disasters in this country, like a wildfire or a hurricane, to go and see for himself firsthand what the needs are of the local community so that he can have an informed POV to make policy. Why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he go down to Del Rio, Texas, and see what's going on?
Well, first of all, Peter, I think the situation at the border is the result of a broken system. And the president certainly relies on his experience. So whether it was the work he did to address root causes as vice president, his efforts when he was in the Senate to support comprehensive immigration reform, steps that at a time were done, being done and worked toward in a bipartisan way, something that certainly we think should be the case today. He uses all of his experiences to inform how he governs, how he approaches challenges. And certainly he looks again at the last 4 years.
Here you go.
The separation of children who are ripped from the arms of their parents as a way he does not want to proceed. So all of his experiences and his time in office, whether vice president or Senate, inform his approach to issues.
He lost his wife in a car accident. His son died of cancer.
Right. Get it all in.
Let's get it all in there.
Get it all in there,
Jen. Ripping the children out of the arms.
I'm telling you, that woman can spin a yarn out of some bullcrap unlike anybody I've ever
She's amazing.
Seen. Meanwhile, the Texas governor has approved a miles-long steel barrier of police vehicles.
I saw that.
To deter the more than 8,000 migrants in Del Rio. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
They have to do it because they can't use the horses anymore and the whips
they were using. They're not. That's not real. He's being facetious.
I'm being facetious, but if you listen to Maxine Waters yesterday.
The National Border Patrol Council president says what you see underneath the bridge is not humane.
It is not.
And blames the Biden administration for the current situation that they're trying to deal with.
Take some responsibility for crying out loud. You've been in office for how many months now?
I got to give it to Jen. She is unshakable in her spinning.
CBS News.
Currently, we have 55 degrees in Lynchburg and Bedford, 55 in Salem, 57 in Roanoke, and 55 in Danville. Well, we have a story out of downtown Lynchburg.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting just two doors down from a church has a pastor speaking out. Tuesday afternoon, a woman suffered non-life-threatening injuries after the glass of her car window was shattered by a bullet. Normally, the area is quiet, Pastor Ricky Halestock of White Rock Baptist Church says, but he says the community has to work together if they're ever going to beat back this violence issue. Says we have to work with city council, the school board, and other nonprofits to try to address the violence in the community. Anyone who may have captured video of this incident on a security or doorbell camera is asked to contact the Lynchburg Police Department or to share that footage on the neighbor's portal. Now, I said downtown. This mm-hmm. is really more midtown, I guess, White Rock is.
And where I live.
Yeah.
In the midtown area.
Well, because, downtown in Lynchburg, by definition, is like Clay Street to the riverfront,
mm-hmm.
5th to 12th.
Okay, so gotcha.
Anything above that, then that starts midtown. So
gotcha.
I didn't want to put the wrong thing out there.
No, I understand. We talked to the folks at Gleaning for the World recently about the Teddy Bear Brigade. Here is a member, members of the Gold Wing Road Riders Chapter A of Warren recently collected new and gently stuffed animals at their campout weekend and 30th anniversary. The Teddy Bear Brigade, which is part of the Gleaning for the World thing, their campaign that we talked about, stuffed animals for the area to go out to folks that are experiencing natural disasters like hurricanes and things that hit Louisiana, along with disaster supplies they were able to bring in. And then the animals give comfort to the kids because they've lost everything in many cases. So Chapter 2 collected 8 bags and delivered them to Virginia, pictured in the chapter, Rita Gillespie, a few furry friends, she said, to assist the folks down there in Louisiana. And many thanks to all that brought their animals through the Teddy Bear Brigade recently.
Yeah. Very nice. Well, the Henry County Fair opening day has been delayed. It's going to be supposed to open yesterday,
mm-hmm.
But Southside community members will need to wait. They had to wait one day until they get into today and all the rain is kind of behind them.
Yeah.
The ribbon cutting for the Henry County Fair is going to take place today at 4:45. and the opening day festivities will take place until 10 p.m. The fair will also be open from 3 until 11 on Friday, 11 to 11 on Saturday. Even though Wednesday's opening day was canceled, advance tickets will still be good for any one day of the fair, according to officials. And the event will feature about 20 rides in the Midway. Mm-hmm. And they've got the Circus Shane Show, Great Lakes Timber Show, and Animal Exhibit, the Miss Henry County Fair Pageant.
Wow.
So just a good old-fashioned fair.
Did you ever run for anything like Miss Banana Pie or anything like that? Why is it always food with me? I don't know.
I don't know. No, I mean, I did a lot of contests, like music contests, things
right.
like that.
Sure.
I competed in a lot of those, but no, I usually made fun of those people.
Okay. Well, I dated Miss...
Not made fun, but I just didn't... I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't get it.
I dated Miss Newport Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she had won the crown like 5 years earlier, so I guess...
Right.
The glimmer and the shine was wore off by then.
I just never... It always hit me as just kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And not, I didn't feel like they were being real.
Right.
So it always kind of made me laugh.
Well, I had a traumatic experience.
Not that there's anything wrong with, don't be sending me hate mail.
Right.
But.
I had a traumatic experience, actually, with this girl who became Miss Newport Richie in eighth grade.
Yeah, I remember.
She's the one that stuck the pencil in my leg and snapped it off. This is back when lead was in pencils, back in the 70s.
Yes, Randy, I'm queuing up the poor pitiful me.
But we dated
right now.
We dated, and it for a short time. But I was enamored by this girl after she stabbed me, and she went on to be Miss Newport Richie.
I'm sure her being Miss Newport Richie had nothing to do with you.
Well, I keep playing that card because I'm trying to get my street cred up.
Is that
now
what
that Trey's
is?
In the studio, I'm trying to.
Does that impress you much?
Yeah, it's quite impressive.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, Cheryl Moore, beautiful, beautiful lady. She's still beautiful, even when I go see her at all these class reunions and stuff. So anyway, I forgave her. So
sounds like it.
So we have Trey Watkins in the studio. He stops by on Thursdays occasionally here to help us make sense of some things, and there's a lot of things out there. I texted you this video that I sent to Janet yesterday over the new memorial that was unveiled yesterday in Richmond. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's disgusting, but it's yet not surprising at all. You know, it's hard to wrap your mind around. You know, such a big fight to take down a statue because it promotes slavery and oppression,
and
just to put up a statue that reminds people of slavery. It's like, you know, we couldn't think of anything else better to put up. Or if you're going to pick it, I'm like, if you're going to take down statues, then let's just not have statues, because we can't pick and choose, you know, to have, you know, based on what you agree with or what you want to. I would hate to want to put up a statue of something I felt strongly about and then have a group come in and demand that it be taken down. And I feel like if that's what we're going to do, then we need to just not have any statues. You know, if you're going to take some down, just take them all down, because it's nobody perfect.
Or why can't you have both? I mean, why couldn't you have both things
reflected? Well, at this point, I mean, we're beyond that. Because they've already started taking them down.
Right.
They've taken them down at VMI. They've taken them down everywhere in Richmond. They've taken some down in Charlottesville, Roanoke. Lynchburg's probably, next. And so it's I think we're a little bit beyond that point. I mean, I think, which is very reasonable.
Right.
You know.
Because that's what I always said. I mean, I don't have a problem. But I was like you, and that's what I texted to Mark yesterday. The whole point of the statue was that it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so painful to walk by and see. And I'm sure a lot of young, unless you told somebody who that was and went through the whole rigmarole of what it was, they wouldn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I've never been good. I've never been offended by any kind of statue, honestly.
But now, how is a child going to be inspired by a man depicted as a slave in a statue?
I think it goes back to the CRT debate, you know, with critical race theory. When we keep race and slavery and the America at its darkest hour, you know,
in the forefront,
at the forefront of the minds of young people, mm-hmm. we really expect the outcome to be a better America, a less divided America, a more trustworthy society of each other. Like, come on, man. Like, I don't see how you reach that conclusion. To me, in the bigger picture and in the collective, when you look at the whole thing, I mean, it's hard not to see everything that's going on and see it as almost a conspiracy or a large attempt to bring the country down. Man, I mean, I can't think of, if you were trying to divide the American people, right? I can't think of anything else that would be being done than what we're seeing now and as a whole. Everything that I can imagine is being done in order to divide the American people. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. And it frustrates me too, man, because it's hard not to look at it and just kind of see it as a sort of as like a liberal crumb, you know, that the Liberal Party tosses out to the Black community and says, here you go. Here's some, you know, a weak, cheap, symbolic victory opposed to solutions and policies mm-hmm. that it's going to make difference.
True changes.
You know, if you're Black and you see that, you know, slave statue, I guess you look at it and you're reminded of slavery, and then you turn around and walk away and you go right back to being in impoverished communities, failing schools, poor health, crime, violence, drugs. I mean, where are those things that we're resolving? You know, you got the mayor out there and it's like, dude, come on, man. Like, were Black people supposed to applaud the slave statue, man? Like, I mean, I don't know.
Or when you look at even the George Floyd statue.
Right.
That big, I mean, it was 7 feet tall or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, just this imposing statue. I mean, is that not even going to incite young people to be angry?
Mm-hmm. How do you heal
at white people? How?
You know, that's why I say what I say, because if we're trying to move forward, if we're trying to come together as people, if we want to see, if we still have hope, you know, in America, you know, it wasn't that long ago where, you know, there was an entire campaign on hope, you know, whether mm-hmm. or not I agree with the policies or the president.
Right.
There was a universal consensus in the Black community of hopefulness.
Right.
You know, yes, we can't has never been the Black
right.
slogan. You know
right.
what I mean? It's like, oh, well, we give up on America. And I would argue that there every day that passes in this generation, it's never been a better time to be Black in America. I don't see how anybody else sees it otherwise. You have record numbers of Black people doing things that have never been accomplished before in America. Mm-hmm. And so it just bothers me that we're so unaware, and it just seems so hypocritical to me. It's hurtful. When I saw the article of the slave statue, that was the first time I was offended by a statue. Mm-hmm. I'd mm-hmm. never been offended by any statue until I saw a statue of that slave. And I'm like, I wouldn't want my child to see that statue.
Because you don't want them to be defined that way.
No. And that's not. And the thing is, you know, they refer to our ancestors as slaves. Our ancestors were not slaves. That's what they engrave into our minds. It's like they were more than just slave people. They were.
Right.
It's a rich history of people that were captured and enslaved by colonists. That's different than saying, you know, your ancestors were slaves. It's like, you know.
Well, and the thing about it is, if you go back and look at your history, your specific history, it's very possible that your ancestors weren't slaves at all.
Exactly.
I mean,
especially here in Virginia.
So,
you know, it's a lot of history that we don't talk about. And it's
also assuming that every white person had people in their history
that were slave owners.
Right. It's a ridiculous premise.
The overwhelming majority of white people did not own slaves.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's it's much like the 1% today.
Right. And there were some blacks that owned slaves, too. Am I right on that?
No, you're 100% right, especially in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I go back to the fact that there are still slaves in the world today.
All over.
You have a president that's aiding and abetting human trafficking.
Yes. Right.
All day, every day, in America and in other places.
And so there's real suffering going on right now that nobody's paying attention to because they're putting up a piece of bronze and taking down a piece of stone when all that energy could be put towards, you know, and money could be put towards stopping generational poverty and improving these neighborhoods and, you know, really making a difference.
All right, let's take a break here and we'll come back because you brought up the border. We'll dive into that a little bit. We have Trey Watkins in the studio. It's the Morning Jam.
Hungry for some truth with a side of common sense?
You want answers?
Then you found the right choice. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
So today, Fox News was able to confirm that, in fact, the federal government is releasing thousands of Haitian migrants into the United States from this camp right here. My Border Patrol sources on the ground working here in Del Rio tell me what they're doing is basically releasing any family units and any women who are currently claiming to be pregnant. And you can see the impact that it's having on the camp here. Take a live look at the scene here. We're told just about 5,000 people are left over in this camp right now. That is significantly decreased from what it was on Saturday, about 15,000. You can still see a lot of people here milling about. They've built their makeshift structures here as they wait in the sun, wait in the heat, waiting to be processed to find out if they've got a chance of being released into the United States. You can take a live look at our drone ahead. We've been showing you this for the past several days now, if we've got it. Just the camp is still fairly large, but you can see parts of it are finally starting to be cleared out because the feds want to get the optics of this gone, so they're trying to clear it as fast as possible. And we want to show you what some of those mass releases look like. Take a look at this video. We were in Del Rio earlier today. We went to an NGO, a non-government organization, where we saw busloads of Haitian migrants just being released after they were processed by Border Patrol. That NGO gave them some food, some supplies, and then they were on their way. They could go on a bus to anywhere else in the country, or take a look at these photos. Local journalists here reporting that there are Haitians on airplanes flying out of Del Rio Airport, some of them taking selfies. One journalist telling me she talked to some of the families on the plane. Some are going to Maryland, some are going to Florida, some are going to New York. One woman just gave birth to a baby here under the bridge 6 days ago.
And that soundbite continues. It's the Morning Jam, 6:53. I just want to make a point here that We see this administration gets flat-footed in Afghanistan. They said, well, we didn't realize they could overtake the country so quickly. And then now they're flat-footed on the border, apparently just releasing people into the interior of our country. We don't know these people. Senator Kennedy said, we really don't have an idea who these people are. But they're everywhere now, apparently going to Maryland, New York, and Florida.
Can I just ask a question? How is a Haitian refugee taking a selfie?
Good question.
Help me understand that.
Yeah.
And why do they have cell phones if they're so?
Because the reality is, it's not. I don't buy the idea that people are fleeing their countries because they're so ravaged. Now is the country of Haiti?
Oh yeah.
Has it recently been devastated by several different things? Yes. But
these people haven't been in Haiti.
I don't
Haiti,
know
though.
That these people have been in Haiti. I'm not sure of that. How did they get to the border from Haiti? I mean, a lot of Haitians have been in Central America and, you know, in South America, from what I understand. And if I was in any other country in the world, honestly, and I knew that I could just go to the, you know, U.S. border and I got a very good chance of getting in. And if I do get in, I'll get access to food, housing. I won't pay taxes. I mean, it's so many things to my benefit. Who wouldn't come? I mean, it'd be dumb not to.
Right.
Of course people are showing up at the border when, I mean, they're not going to turn you away. They don't, it was a report the other day, it was several different legitimate checkpoints along the border, like on roads where you cross over the border, where there was no
Abbott said,
you know, border patrol whatsoever.
When you have an administration that is not enforcing the law in this country, when you have an administration that has abandoned any pretense of securing the border and securing our sovereignty, then you see an onrush of people like what we saw walking across this dam that's right behind me. Apparently, there are up to 30,000 Haitians in Colombia who may be seeking to travel north. Panama expects 80,000 migrants to cross its border on the way to the U.S. by the end of the year.
Wow.
Yeah. It makes sense. And if you're a country that has an issue with criminals, prisons, jails, you have a systemic problem, why not release them?
Yeah, unload them.
Yeah.
U.S. will take them.
U.S. will take them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not rocket science.
And then we're not going to have to deal with them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. And I mean, it's obvious we have a completely open border. What's going on at the border, in my opinion, has, despite all of the crises that has occurred since the Biden administration took over, this border crisis, in my opinion, is still number one. Mm-hmm. And it has been. There's not just because of what we've seen at the border, probably because of what we haven't seen from the border. The border is so large. Those deserts are so, you know, dense. And I mean, who knows how many children and just people in general have just collapsed and died on the way here. Mm-hmm. You know, we heard all the reports early on of what, you know, a lot of the people were going through on their journeys, whether it was being sexually assaulted and just being abused by the cartels and you know, all those people are simply going to be coming into the United States to work their butts off to pay off the cartels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Joe Biden and the Biden administration are absolutely they're in cahoots with the cartels. I mean, it's just they are supporting them. The Joe Biden is aiding and abetting the cartels.
Well, and these people aren't, you know, following our laws. They've already overtaken a van just a couple of days ago that had a bunch of them in a van. They overtook the driver and escaped, and then they were throwing rocks at the airplanes here the other day. I mean, it's just they're
the ones that were flying people out.
Yeah, unruly. And you expect them to come in? I mean, they were in countries where the law is hardly followed, and you could make the argument it's hardly followed in our own country.
And then we have these little weak people around here that want to just beat up on the Border Patrol people,
right,
saying they're being too harsh.
Yeah,
they're
completely
overwhelmed with the work that they have to do, feel
probably
unsupported.
More than even and no disrespect to our healthcare workers, but our Border Patrol workers have probably been more worked. I mean, more overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Well, and but they're maligned, whereas at least healthcare workers are celebrated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
and they require them to wear masks when they come in the hospital. You've got a bunch, tens of thousands of unmasked people coming in. I hope all those guys have their shot and ladies have their vaccine. Mm-hmm. Trey, thank you again so much for stopping in. Trey Watkins.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Joining us on the Morning
Jam.
Thanks,
Janet. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. And we will have some more news coming your way, some hike hacks. Do we have any hike hacks?
We have some life hacks.
All right, that sounds good. Let's do that next hour. 8 o'clock, CBS News is next.